that I may speak and you may hear, in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. A true story, which I have told from this pulpit many, many years ago now, always challenges me whenever I hear the account of the Magi and their gifts. I was watching a nativity play where my then four-year-old godson was playing the part of one of the three kings. At the appropriate point in the play, the three kings appeared, all bearing gifts which they solemnly presented to the baby Jesus. The first was carrying gold, the second frankincense, and the third, my godson, a care bear, a sort of teddy bear for those of you who are either too young or too old to know what it means. It so happened that my godson's mother had gone into hospital for major surgery that week and had given him the care bear to cuddle while she was away. So it was that when asked about it, my godson said he thought he ought to give the baby Jesus the most precious thing he owned. On one level, this sermon could end there with the obvious question that that story poses of whether or not we could ever do the same thing. Could the inherent attractiveness of the infant king evoke the same response in you or me? Could we give away that which is most precious to us? Let's return to the Magi, and let's try to forget the cozy picture book story of strange but gentle kings bringing gifts to a child in a stable. Matthew says nothing about a stable, nor does he suggest that the visitors were royal. And scholars have argued for centuries about the precise meaning of the word magi, magician, astrologer, astronomer, wise man. What we do know about the mysterious Magi is that they were Gentiles, non-Jews, and that they traveled, and that they persevered in their search for the truth, and that what they were looking for and indeed found was political dynamite. As many of us know, the visit of the Magi is but one of the significant stories connected with the celebration of the Epiphany, a word with Greek meaning, roots meaning virtually the same thing as its Latin equivalent, revelation, but in churchy use being particularly associated with a revelation of the glory of God. The visit of the Magi reminds us that the good news of Jesus is for everyone and not limited to a particular people or place. Our reading from Isaiah, "Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn," underlines this, and our reading from Ephesians spells it out in detail. If Christmas brings wonderful news, then Epiphany reminds us that that news is not just wonderful, it's fantastic. God with us, no matter who we are or what happens to us, and he's with us forever. For me, though, the compelling part of the story of the Magi is their journey. They were clearly people of wisdom and integrity who were drawn to Jesus as if to a magnet. They were so convinced of the truth of their search that they were prepared to give up everything to find him. The Magi saw, albeit dimly and far away, a glimpse of Jesus' glory, and pursued it to the end. And why? Not to receive anything, not to escape from anything, but so that they could make the proper response. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. The only real response we can make to the living God is to fall down and worship. The God whom we know, as revealed in Jesus, is so inherently attractive, so compelling, that the only appropriate immediate response is that of adoration, thanksgiving, and worship. It is the response of the beloved to his or her lover. And that is a response which does not expect any reward, any return. Instead, it demands that we give everything we are to the one who has given everything he is to us. Real worship is always about giving and not about receiving. But the church, as I often say, rests on two pillars, pillars that are linked but separate, worship and mission. After we have worshipped, we know we must not keep Jesus as an attractive secret for ourselves, but we must cooperate with God in his epiphany and allow his glory to be seen and men and women to be drawn to him by it. That, to some extent, is what the other epiphany theme of the baptism of Christ is all about. At the very moment that Jesus is commissioned to proclaim the good news, we see him as he really is. This is my Son. And that itself is not a dry doctrinal statement, but about the living God who's taken on the reality of being human and who therefore knows what it means to be human and what life can throw at us and who can therefore be with us in our joys and our sadnesses, who can rejoice with us and cry with us. And mission and worship flow in and out of each other. Our worship inspires our mission, which inspires ourselves and others to worship. Worship can be mission, drawing people to God, which is why the quality, nature, and accessibility of our worship are also important. I know of people who've been converted by their experience of the Midnight Eucharist of Christmas, or by the faithful worshipping of their Christian friends, or by the mystery at the very heart of the Eucharist, another epiphany or revelation of God and his love. Christ's reign has begun on the manger throne. The Messiah has arrived, and that means that his real glory, as we see in our Old Testament lesson and our psalm, must be shared in establishing his kingdom of peace, of justice, of healing, of wholeness. He is a king who has the weak and poor on his heart, and who brings light and hope to the marginalized and the oppressed, whose non-material riches mean an end to status and oppression, all of which was political dynamite and so devastatingly threatening for Herod. And I'm talking about what are known as kingdom values in the trade. I happen to be one of those who has much hope for the future of the church. But if I have one major criticism of us, or perhaps just of myself, it is that in recent years we've lost touch with those kingdom values. We've rightly tried hard to share the gospel, to let people see that utter attractiveness of Christ that can draw us all like a magnet. But we failed to let others see that that attractiveness is most revealed in a Christ and a church that is concerned about everything from Syria to racism, from Brexit to human trafficking, from the effects of universal credit to murder on a train near here, from the world economy to domestic violence or alcoholism hidden behind closed doors and gates in Surrey. A church that is passionate about justice, about peace, about caring for individuals, about ending poverty and misery, about healing and wholeness and relationships, about love. To commit ourselves to those values and to be prepared to stand up for them is, I suspect, to be challenged to give up to God all that selfishness and desire for an easy life that can be most precious and dear to us. So the Feast of the Epiphany is about worship and about mission. It's about God's glory revealed in God's world and about our response to that glory. It's one of the hinges in the Christian year when we move from our celebration of the birth of Christ to what it means for everyone in practice, the giving of our very selves to the God who loves us forever. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.